Podcast. This is your host, Lance White, speaking one more time. Tonight, I'm delighted to welcome Toni Tsar Petrinovich back to the show. Toni received her doctorate degree from the University of Metaphysics in Los Angeles and is a master teacher through the Holy Order of MANS, Mans, under the Order of the Golden Cross, besides being a healer and trained in, is it Reiki or Reiki? I never get that
Reiki,
right.
Reiki.
Born with an innate ability to see multidimensionally, she uses her gifts to bring people in tune with their own truth. So let's welcome Toni into this dimension with us here and now. Welcome back, Toni.
Thank you.
You know, one of the wonderful aspects of your views, and I won't call them beliefs because we'll get into that in a minute,
but of
your views is the inclusion of quantum physics, DNA, and the awakening angelic human. To bring our listeners tonight up to speed, how did this journey develop for you?
Well, first of all, that I just kind of came into it on my own, just because I had the awareness to awaken to the angelic human and that which is everybody else also.
Uh-huh.
And while I'm talking about this, I'm also speaking also of the holographic space that we each come to where we can awaken to ourselves to become more and more that which we are.
Uh-huh.
And I know that you know this.
Right. To an extent, yeah.
Yes, you do. And it's an equal amplitude, an amplitude being the holographic rhythm and the frequency that we each embody.
Yes.
In daily life. So as each person becomes more and more aware of that which they are, their DNA awakens to this.
Yes.
And I think it's very exciting that humans can come to this place and just really be excited about the awareness that they can embody.
Yes. Yes, you know, in speaking about the DNA, what I found is that the more open we are to our emotional bodies and
definitely
the more we open our hearts, our DNA literally relaxes like hair, this relaxing, and it opens up. And when we're expressing negativity and we're angry, it literally tightens and becomes more contracted. Have you found that to be true?
Yes, exactly. So, just like you said, hair, tightens up.
Yeah.
Then the DNA can't bring about the life force.
Yes.
That we are.
Yeah.
And when it opens up and has the larger synchronistic place that it really wants to inhabit, then we can bring in the holographic innovation that we are.
Uh-huh. What is it like to see multidimensionally?
Oh, my gosh. You asked me that the last time, too. It's kind of like, well, there's no judgment.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I think the biggest piece is not to have judgment.
Oh, yeah.
And not to have a feeling like we have to know one way or the other.
Uh-huh.
In other words, I think you're right, I think you're wrong.
Right.
Right, okay.
No, you're wrong.
Right, exactly. And so in that space where we don't have to have a right or a wrong,
yes,
that is the other dimension.
Yeah.
That's what's so beautiful. It is so lovely.
Wow. Do you feel that during this time that humanity as a whole is headed in that direction?
Yes, I definitely do.
Okay.
And I think it really, Lance, that is why people are so scared.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they, us,
Right.
To go to a place where we don't have a judgment about what things are about. In other words, what I'm saying to you right now has no judgment.
Right.
Okay? And if we can go to that place where there is no judgment, then we have so much space, so much openness, so much delight in all that we are.
Yes.
And yet people are afraid of that.
Yes.
Because if they go to that place, then they have to, have that little tightness. Like, well, I'm right or I'm wrong. You know,
yeah.
What happens with my belief system?
Yeah. You know, you said something about belief systems that I believe.
Okay.
And I love this. I pulled it out from what you said, and it said, people often ask me what I believe in.
Uh-huh.
My answer is nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Believing in something means that you do not know it, and if you do not know it, why are you being it, living it, doing it?
Right.
So I do not believe in anything.
Right.
And I have to agree with you on that one.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great line. And, you know, people will often criticize. They'll say, well, if you don't believe in anything, then you're subject to anybody's beliefs or something
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not necessarily true.
No, it's not.
It's like creating a blank slate so that there's space there
right.
for creation to show up.
Right, exactly.
I wanted to ask you about, you mentioned fear, and this
mm-hmm.
is something, an area that I think we're living in a male-dominated energy field. This planet has been under the male dominance for probably since the beginning of time, but especially since Christ. I believe that the divine feminine was written out of the biblical teachings. But the male energy seems to be creating fear. It seems to thrive on that. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, so you're asking me about the feminine.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I think that the feminine comes from the heart.
Yeah.
And going back to scientific knowledge,
mm-hmm.
HeartMath Institute in California tells us that the heart itself has more electromagnetic energy
mm-hmm.
than the brain,
mm.
and it has 5,000 times more electric energy than the brain, and 60 times more magnetic energy than the brain.
Huh.
So when we talk about that, then we can realize that the heart itself, the love, the aspect of ourselves that is the love,
yeah.
is that which we can really resonate with.
Yeah.
And that is the feminine aspect.
Yeah, yes.
mm-hmm. And that's what you're talking about.
Yes.
Right. So as we come to that place where we can resonate with that which is love, then we have this aspect that just, you know, reverberates between you and me. I mean, just like us on the phone, and anybody who's listening, we can feel the vibration
mm-hmm.
just vibrating back and forth
mm-hmm.
between us.
And
yes. allowing us to feel the real space as a feminine aspect.
Yes, yes. Yes, very great point. I love it.
It's a real response because the response that we feel between you and me talking
yes.
and other people listening,
yes.
that response, I mean, anybody who feels what we're saying right now can feel it in the very depth of their being.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's how I determine my own truth.
Right.
I don't have to go, you might say something to me that, other people might judge or think is far out.
Right.
But when it resonates in my heart and my soul, it just automatically goes into my truth bucket.
Exactly.
And I don't have to go back.
The truth bucket, that's a great place.
You know, I don't have to go back and look up, do a Google on,
right.
I just know, I feel it.
Right, exactly.
And I think that's what we need to learn how to trust and develop is our own inner intuitive abilities which takes us back to the DNA again.
And which, for me, is DNA slash source.
Yeah, yeah, oh, okay.
Because, you know, even though I say, you know, we can't say source and actually name it.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
At the same time, we're naming it.
Right.
And we're feeling that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you just said, it's a wave pattern.
Yeah.
It's words, it's feelings, it's all of the things that make it a frequency that we're coherent with.
You know, science tends to discard or throw away what they don't want to see or understand. And
right.
One of those things is junk DNA.
Mm-hmm.
Is there such a thing, or do we use 100% and it's a multidimensional process?
Well, junk DNA is actually a scientific name for DNA that the scientists don't know what to call that space.
Okay.
So junk DNA is not really junk.
It's their trash can for what they don't understand.
Yeah, right. It's kind of like, well, let's just take the garbage can over here and just toss this stuff over there.
Right. So now I've got my truth container, and we've got the garbage can.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So the frequency that they can't even name
mm-hmm.
is what they call junk DNA.
Mm. Mm-mm-mm. Let me see here. What was I going to ask you about? This is kind of related to the Divine Feminine question, and I just recently watched the movie The Da Vinci Code again.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, I think that there's a... It could be fictional, but, you know, there's some very good points in there.
Mm-hmm.
About Mary Magdalene and about the divine
right.
feminine and about really everything sourcing from the female energy.
Mm-hmm.
And what's your sense of that?
Well, first of all, I think as far as Mary Magdalene was concerned, I think the Bible is just a bunch of, crap.
Thank you.
I think that she really married Jesus.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, my memories of my own self is that I'm the daughter of the two of them.
Oh.
So that's going to be in my new book that I'm
writing. Oh, wonderful.
Presently.
Wonderful.
Other than that, I just think that as far as the DNA is concerned, I would suggest that anybody that is listening to read Zachariah Sitchin's work and really get into the Anunnaki and the Nephilim and see what happens there for them, because that is more of the truth
mm-hmm.
than anything you're going to find anyplace else.
You know, he talks about them coming back, and some people claim that they've never left. That
no, they haven't left.
They're underground, and then to complicate matters, we have information that seems to indicate that our own government has
mm-hmm.
underground facilities with working with the Greys and
right.
many other races, and have been for decades. What do you think is going on here?
Well, you know, I think that the government is afraid.
Yeah.
Because if they bring up anything that is going to allow us to be more, let us say...
Free.
Free, thank you. than we are.
Yeah.
Then that's going to spoil what they're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
So if they say, yes, biologically we are, you know, learning this or that, then it's going to scare people.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll just see what they do. You know,
yeah.
I can't say one way or the other. It's just kind of contained within the body itself.
Yeah, yeah. You know, what's interesting is that global warming is actually starting to become common knowledge.
Right,
I mean, it's almost as if a critical mass gets reached. mm-hmm, and our mm-hmm. denial reaches the end like a rubber band that's ready to snap.
Right,
again.
Exactly.
And then it's like, okay, I guess it's okay to talk about global warming now. Now it's on the news, and, you know, I've been seeing chemtrails overhead for mm-hmm. 7 years,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and people just don't seem to get it that there are programs that have been going on right over our heads, dumping mm-hmm. chemicals into our wonderful planet that get absorbed into the skin and the plants and the, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that Gaia, as a living, breathing entity, is going to stay alive long enough for us to make any kind of, you know, shift?
Oh, definitely.
Okay, good.
I think that when people, you know, say that Gaia is dying or, you know, is falling apart or whatever their things are,
yeah.
I really don't think that's true. I think that the Earth itself is able to hold its space no matter what the experiments are. That's just the way I feel. But we'll just see what the semantics happen, you know.
Yeah. A lot of people, a lot of channels discuss the shift that's coming and, of course, accompanied by Earth changes and disasters and things. But the one thing that they have in common is that we may have the choice of shifting into a higher dimension, the fourth, fifth, sixth. Some
mm-hmm,
people
mm-hmm,
take it all
mm-hmm.
the way up to the 12th.
Mm-hmm.
What's your feeling about that one?
Definitely. I definitely think that we're shifting. Because we have to. We don't have a choice to stay where we are.
Yeah.
Because we're not foundationed where we are.
Mm-hmm.
And as we move into more awareness, then we can become more adapted to that which needs to happen here. So as, you know, if you say we're going to the fifth dimension or whatever,
mm-hmm.
then we can begin to realize that we need to be aware of what we're doing, what's happening here
mm-hmm.
in this time and place.
Absolutely.
Do you see that way too?
Yes, absolutely. In other words, it seems like we have this tendency either to want to be saved and then, you know, do nothing, waiting for the ship to come in.
Yeah, right.
You know, like
winning
the lottery.
Uh-huh.
But we know that very few people win the lottery, and even those who do win it end up, their lives are worse off than they before they had
mm-hmm.
all the money.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that, and then there is the aspect where we don't want to be responsible for what we've already created.
Right.
And
exactly.
I think that's a lot of that has to do with our denial. And I think it's important for us to clean up our own personal lives on an individual level, you know, starting within,
mm-hmm.
and that is, you know, that's what will lead to a global shift. It's not so much about changing the world or saving the planet.
No.
It's about looking within and seeing, you know, well, what would I do if I were going to be here for another 50 years?
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
what parts of my life are not working?
Right.
Where am I not following my bliss?
Right.
Why am I not
right.
happy? Why, you know, so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree completely.
It's like, you know, learning about, it's the unexamined life is not worth living.
No, exactly.
And unfortunately, I think a lot of people today have been lulled into sleepy land
mm-hmm.
By just being here in a world that creates sleep, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be difficult. Well, it may not be difficult. Maybe I
well,
need to rephrase that.
It could be easy.
See, I fall into it too. I'm just going to say that it might be harder for people who have not been following an inner
mm-hmm.
journey than those who are more materially oriented as
mm-hmm.
the energy shift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Because the energy shift.
Really different. Listening to the yearning that we have in the DNA.
Yeah.
And to follow that. So the concept that we have breaks through the feeling of, I have to do this or I have to do that.
Uh-huh.
And just allow yourself to just break into the concept and go with it, just like you said. Just make it easy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really, it's so elementary. I mean, it's just so easy if we could just let ourselves do it.
Then it is easy. And, you know, I know sometimes I have, it's the voices inside my head that tell me this is going to be hard or I need to be doing something else. And it really requires a little bit of focus and self-discipline to see that, to just be, you know, and not have to feel compelled that there's something to do all the time.
Well, it's really about just taking the ideas and basing them upon the very structure that we are,
mm-hmm.
and saying, I'm going to make this easy for myself,
mm.
and allowing yourself to do it.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people ask about angels guiding us.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that many of us are angels already.
Right.
So we're kind of, it's like the blind leading the blind, but we're starting to wake up and the goggles are coming off. But do we have assistance from the other side, from other realms?
Oh, we always have assistance from the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things we can always ask for, is just say, hey, help me.
Mm-hmm.
And just wait for that moment to come.
Mm.
Because it's always there.
Mm-hmm.
And all we need to do is to be quiet enough,
yeah.
to listen to that voice that says, yes, I'm here. And it's so important. It's so important for people to do that.
You know,
I can just barely hear you, Lance.
You can barely hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, here. Is that a little bit better?
A little bit.
Okay. How do people distinguish between the various voices in their head?
I can't hear you.
Oh, you can't?
No, I can. Okay.
Okay.
There you are.
All right. How do people distinguish the voices? You know, how do they learn how to trust which voices are from which source?
I really feel that people know the voices that come to them,
uh-huh.
and that they kind of put aside that which is the voice inside.
Uh-huh.
So if a person wants to really listen and wants to really hear,
uh-huh.
they can hear it versus saying, I can't hear this. You know, I can't hear my inner voice. I know that they can.
Uh-huh.
It's really everybody's decision to do that.
Okay.
And I think that each person needs to really just adhere to that and be more, maybe aware to that voice inside.
Uh-huh. Well, part of my process has been to be able to hear that is included turning off the television set.
Oh, definitely.
And,
yes.
You know, external influences that are designed to program.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I don't care how impartial we think everything is, you know, or how real, you know, I've got to see my news shows.
When, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They are an energy frequency, and that can be a barrier.
Oh, definitely.
You know,
yes.
to our own inner voice.
Yeah, and it takes up so much space.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's as if we have a hard drive, and if we fill it up with, you know, information, there's no space left for us.
Right, exactly.
You know,
and so when that space is taken up, then you can't hear you.
Yes, yes.
Right, exactly.
Absolutely.
You're perfect.
Absolutely. I hear a lot about the pole shift coming in our future, and I'm beginning to think that that is going to be a reality. What about you?
Yeah, I think so. I think that many people are more afraid
uh-huh.
of it than, you know, might be necessary. And I think that what's going to happen with the pole shift is not so much energetics as just the energy of the poles themselves to just shift in a way that we're going to feel a different experience within our own DNA.
Uh-huh.
So rather than, you know, being afraid of it, I think that people just really need to embody it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, fear is such a low vibration anyway.
Oh, definitely.
You know, and there's so much around us that stimulates fear.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes I find it helpful to just close the curtains. And
yep, I couldn't agree with you more. Yeah, definitely.
You know.
And just say, I'm not going there.
Yeah, exactly. You know, there may be a day, too, coming when there will be things going on this planet that we'll have to learn how to separate from.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, definitely.
And
the frequency, yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. And not, you know, not take on what's going on and not be afraid.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
right,
it's
exactly.
It's really important that, you know, we can't make fear disappear. We're going to all have it.
Yeah.
But it's fear of the unknown, and if we start to see the unknown as something positive,
mm-hmm.
something that is a next step for us, whatever,
mm-hmm.
however we choose to see that,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, it's more like jumping from a cliff and finding out that you have wings and can fly.
Exactly, exactly. And that's a great story, you know, about the teacher who took his students to the cliff. And said, jump.
Oh, yes.
Do you know those stories?
Why don't you tell it?
Oh, well, where the teacher took the students to the cliff and said, jump. And they said, I can't because I can't fly. And they said, well, just jump. And when they jumped, they found out they could fly.
Wow.
I mean, that's the way birds do.
Wow. Yeah. You know, I did... one of the programs that Werner Erhard had developed a long time
exactly.
ago. Exactly. And it was called the sixth day.
Mm-hmm.
And on one of those days, we had to go out to a cliff, and we were hooked up with belts and machinery, you know,
right.
ropes and things, and we had to jump off the cliff and literally fly hundreds of feet down to the bottom of the
mm-hmm.
cavern.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, even just knowing that everything was secure and you couldn't fall, I wanted to turn around and go back. But the second I jumped off the cliff, it was like, woo, you know, wow, I want to go back and do this again.
Mm-hmm. Oh, fun.
Yeah. So, you know, I think when we get up to the line where we have to jump, I think it's important. Just do it.
Yeah, just do it.
Just do it.
Exactly.
Don't think about it.
Yeah, right.
Just jump, and you know it'll be all right.
Mm-hmm. It'll be fine.
Exactly. What are some of the things that you'd like to tell our audience, our listeners tonight? Is there something that you have in particular that you'd like to share, or any stories that you'd like to tell?
Well, I think more than anything is just breaking into the concept that whatever elementary ideas, whatever basic experiments they might want to do, I would like them to adjust their being into what you and I were just talking about.
Uh-huh.
So they can free themselves to fly.
Yeah.
No matter what it is,
mm-hmm.
just fly. And free themselves from being caught up in the pieces that tie them up. I think that would be the most important part.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of like untangling the web.
Yes,
the spider
definitely.
Web.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. it seems like we've been stuck in a kind of spider web of our own creation.
Right, exactly.
And, you know, we all know what that looks like, to see a fly or a bug
mm-hmm,
that's accidentally
mm-hmm.
flown into
right.
a web, and you can see the spider just salivating over it.
Right.
You know, only the problem is, you know, we're going to have to free ourselves, you know, and it's going to have to happen before the spider catches us.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
I think that's kind of a game that we took on, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
And, you know, we like to take it close to the dangerous zone because it's more exciting that way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, this is a cosmic game, and we chose to play it, and we chose to be here now. And, you know, we like our games intense.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
You know, the roller coaster is no fun if it just goes horizontally. It's like, uh-oh, this is for old folks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like the ones where you go up and then you drop and you, it's like, you know, or the ones that do the loop-de-loos. And,
right, right.
You know, speaking of loop-de-loos, one person, I can't remember who, I think it was Robert Shapiro in his Zeus channelings, mentioned mm-hmm. that the Earth is in a loop,
mm-hmm.
that this particular time frame that we're in is an experiment in trying to make corrections to raise consciousness to the level so that when the loop closes and we rejoin that previous timeline,
mm-hmm.
the quote, harvest, unquote, of conscious souls will be greater. I don't know if there's any truth to that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, anything is possible. Anything is possible. And, you know, whether or not we're in a loop-de-loo or a Volkswagen bug, you know, it's still up to us to work on our own consciousness and bring ourselves up to the drawing board.
Mm-hmm.
So, what role do you think the ETs might have in helping us, helping or otherwise?
Well, it just depends upon what your belief system is. Either they're here or they're not here.
Yeah.
What
do you think?
I think they're here.
Okay. Yeah, I do too.
And I think that a lot of people are afraid of them.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily needing to be afraid of them, but just, well, let's put it this way. Because everybody wants to have a belief system that is explicit to them,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, a lot of people who just say, the ETs are here, and I'm afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't necessarily think that we need to be afraid of them.
Mm-hmm.
They could be here and just love us as much as we love them.
Mm-hmm.
And let them bring into our world, our reality, a place that shows us more and more of that which we can be.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes sense to me. You mentioned in your book something that I actually heard on the radio last night about the Princeton University.
Yes.
And the Global Consciousness
mm-hmm.
Project.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Dean Radin that was on
Coast
to Coast last night. Mm-hmm. He was talking about that and the impact that our awareness or our consciousness has on events, and that
mm-hmm.
I don't know exactly how, I couldn't describe it, but they place eggs connected to computers around
the
globe.
Yeah, the eggs, uh-huh.
Can you share a little bit about that? Do you know anything about
that? Well, I don't think it's really the Princeton University. I think it's part of them.
Yeah.
And it's an institute that is an offshoot of Princeton.
Okay.
In any event, what they're doing is investigating, you know, through research, what the mind does when it comes together with different, resonance. So if you and I are thinking the same thing at the same time, then we're in a resonance.
Okay.
And it creates some kind of a frequency that the eggs pick up. And that's what I was talking about in my book. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes. Absolutely. I try to keep an eye on those things because it's fun.
Uh-huh, right.
You know, it's
right.
Fun. And now that I've seen that 911 is a possibility,
uh-huh.
You know, I have a funny feeling that there might be other possibilities on the horizon.
Right.
I'd like a little advance notice. Although even the best computer models and psychics and prophets
mm-hmm.
seem to only be able to get it up to minutes, maybe a day or two before something happens.
Mm-hmm.
So we really don't know the hour of the day of anything, do we?
No, we don't.
No.
And at the same time, whatever is happening is kind of like an experiment that's happening for all of us to experience.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Why do you think we're at creating the wars in the Middle East. What do you think the lesson might be there?
Well, quite frankly, I don't think there is a war.
Really?
And I know that, you know, I've had people just come at me when I say that because they're not happy with those words.
Yeah.
I think that what we're really doing is showing ourselves what we really want, and we don't want what is there.
Yeah.
I think that the United States, and, you know, I could just hang myself out to dry here,
go ahead.
Is attempting to make itself be paramount.
Yeah.
And say, we're smarter. We know.
Yeah.
We know what has to happen here.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily think that's true.
Oh, so I agree with that one.
Yeah, and I really feel that because the religious beliefs that are inherent in the Iranian/Iraqi/Muslim places feel very strongly about how they are going to live their lives, we've decided that they're wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't think they are.
I don't either.
I think that they just need to find out what they want to do.
You know, I wonder what would happen if all of a sudden, every American just opened their hearts and just loved
Exactly. Lance, you're right on.
You know?
You're right there.
They just love the Iranians.
I agree completely. Just
love the Chinese.
Just love them. Love them.
You know,
love them.
The right. Asian. You know, love the Mexican people because they're all wonderful and they're all aspects of us and we're
all
one.
Exactly. I couldn't agree with you more.
And this stick prodding that's going on, you know, with big egos and big guns really.
Yep.
It really is ludicrous. I mean, it's very funny in one way, but it's creating a lot of strife, and I think we're just going to have to reach a point where we get so fed up with it that we think, okay, that's enough. I give. No more. We're going to try love now.
Yeah, I agree.
We've had 100,000 years of warring and strife and religious battles and corruption and greed and corporate corruption and control and... You know, we see where that's all heading, and we see where it's going with genetic modification and nanobots and technology and, you know, control of the water and the food. We don't want it.
No.
We don't want people starving in Africa, do we?
No.
That's not a pretty picture?
Mm-mm.
That people are literally dying, and it's not going to get any better.
No.
And until we just embrace the entire world as part of ourselves, and it's all interconnected... We're going to continue to isolate and divide, and that's the problem with this old paradigm, which is in duality, that, you know, we're not transcending duality and seeing that it's all one.
Yep.
That fabric, you can't touch one thing in the fabric and not expect something else to happen.
Yep, I agree.
And unfortunately or fortunately, there's going to be consequences from... and I don't think global warming is necessarily all caused by us. I think it's a planetary thing, and it's just destined to happen at this time. It's like all the clocks, these various clocks with different time frames, you know, some of them go back, 20, 30 million years, all reach midnight at the same time, which is in December of 2012.
Right.
And it's like, ding, this program's over, time to reboot, and the hologram gets reset, and, I have no idea what's going to happen, but I do know that it's important to really move into our hearts. That part I'm learning, and, try and learn how to, temper our heads, our minds with heart energy.
Well, I know back in the 70s when I was in San Francisco.
Oh.
Back in the 70s.
So. I love those days.
Yeah, isn't that great?
Yeah.
I was down in the Tenderloin with one of my friends, Margaret, and we were just kind of walking around, and there was a guy who had a gun who was going to kill somebody. He was very adamant. He was very aggressive.
Uh-huh.
And people were screaming, yelling, and doing various things, and throwing garbage bags everywhere.
Huh.
And I looked at Margaret, and I said, well, is it you or is it me? And she said, well, I'm not too sure. And I said, well, I guess it's me then. And I went up to this man who was, you know, a very aggressive person. And I said, give me your gun.
Oh, my.
And I just stayed in the space that you're just talking about.
Uh-huh.
I just stayed in that space of peace and love.
Uh-huh.
And just, it's you and me. And we're both here on this street,
mm-hmm.
and we're just together
yeah.
in the oneness.
Yeah.
And he handed me his gun.
Wow.
And so I took the little clip out and said, okay, why are you doing this?
Yeah.
And he began to tell me about him and his wife and how they're having this big argument. And I looked up, you know, in San Francisco, they have all, you know, great apartments up
oh,
top.
Yeah.
And so here's this woman hanging out there, and she's screaming and yelling, and I just go, okay. And we talked about why he was so upset.
Uh-huh.
And then he took us across the street, and we got a Coke, and all the three of us, you know, just talked.
Wow.
And I realized that if I hadn't done that,
uh-huh.
who knows what would have happened.
Oh, yeah.
And just staying in that space
yeah.
of that, just loving him as he is.
Yes.
Instead of trying to separate or trying to be different than or being afraid of or
yeah.
blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Just staying there with him.
Yeah. Wow.
It was huge.
That's amazing. That...
And I think that anybody can do that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I mean... And we can do it in ways that you know, maybe not are as dramatic as that,
uh-huh.
but just by smiling at somebody at the grocery
right.
store.
Exactly.
You know, saying something nice to the checkout stand person, you know, that's having to work, you know, 8, 9, 10 hours a day or extra shifts, and just being kind to that person by mm-hmm. seeing that that's me there.
Right, exactly.
I am looking
at myself.
Yes.
This
How
is God.
I? Yes.
This is me, right
yes.
there in front of me.
Yes,
right.
exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and being grateful
mm-hmm.
that I don't have to do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm buying the groceries. I don't have to be at the checkout stand.
Right.
Anymore.
Exactly.
And now I have an opportunity to give back something, and if it's energy, then you know I have plenty of that to give.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, but to love everyone.
Right.
You know, even the crazy ones that, the ones that we perceive as crazy.
Yeah.
Because
well, it's our own perception, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. That man wasn't crazy.
No.
He was just doing
what he was doing.
He just didn't know what to do.
Right, exactly.
And I think, you know, we see a lot of things going on in the world that we label as crazy,
mm-hmm.
but maybe they're not crazy.
No, they're not crazy.
Maybe
they're just doing
just
what they need to do at that moment.
Yes, and maybe we need to all, as a group, step up to the plate and say
mm-hmm.
to those other countries who are battling or to our leaders who are...
Yeah.
Yeah, and say, we love you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to shoot those guns anymore.
Right, exactly.
We can convert a military-based
mm-hmm.
society to one that's green, and we can make this planet a Garden of Eden.
Yep.
You know, so I'm hoping that people will start to see that that's a possibility.
Well, just keep going in that direction.
Just stumbling from one lily pad to the next, like the road deck.
That's good.
Oh, golly. So what's on the horizon for you? You said you're coming out with another book?
Yes, I'm going to have another book that is really about me and what I really feel is important to say.
Oh,
and
wonderful.
Yeah.
I'm working on one, too.
I know. That's what you said. That's great.
Well, mine probably won't come out before yours does. So, you know, but I'm reaching a point where I feel like I feel comfortable, you know, speaking my own truth.
Good.
And, you know... I think everybody has to do that. I mean, they don't have to do that, but I think it's helpful to to reach a point where you're comfortable with your own information.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, I pull in a lot of information from many different sources.
Wonderful.
And they're all wonderful. And, you know, none are necessarily better than any others. They all fit together like a pieces of a clockwork puzzle.
Super.
And it's just such a miracle to see the synchronicity evolving.
Wonderful.
You know, and I think the synchronicity teaches us or shows us, like the landing lights of a jet plane, where to go.
Yes, it does. It does.
This is, you know, this is synchronicity. They're landing lights. You can veer off the course if you like. But it's at nighttime, and you're going to run out of gas at some point, and you
better...
Better
practice as you want.
Turn that plane around before you run out of gas.
Right.
It's just, you know, unless you want to crash land, it's okay, too. That's a different lesson. That's a different experience. But, what do you do for fun? What's fun in your life?
What's fun in my life is actually doing my book.
Oh, good.
That's the fun part.
Yeah.
I must admit that I don't tackle a lot of quote-unquote fun.
I don't either.
I just really create.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Me too. And don't you feel like that's part of just being aligned, more aligned with your own purpose or your own, truth? I don't know what to call it. The DNA unraveling the way it's supposed to, or, you know, maybe it's the oversoul or the higher self talking to us or through us. I don't know.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, all of the above.
All of the above.
Yeah. Yes. Have you also noticed that I've been reading a little bit more recently about the Crystal Kids and, you know, the others and so on. They're apparently, the kids being born today are increasingly more conscious and powerful and psychic.
Oh, aren't they, though?
My God.
Oh, my gosh. They are so aware.
All over the place that babies, before they're being born before they're even conceived, are talking telepathically to the mothers.
I know. And they come, people come to me with babies in their womb.
Yeah.
And want me to just, you know, tap into their child. It's amazing.
What's it like? What do the babies say?
Well, they're basically saying, I am coming. I'm coming to do this. I'm going to do this, that, and the other thing. And they give me like a, you know, a laundry list of the stuff they want to do.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. It's just huge.
Wow. What are some of the things that they come to do?
Basically just to let us become more aware.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's not like there's anything that is different than just the stuff that you and I know already. They want us to become aware of, you know, who and what we are.
Yeah. Well, it took me 56 years to get here. they're arriving out of the womb.
Hello.
You know, hitting the ground running.
Right.
And I think it's really important for parents to honor the brilliance
definitely.
The consciousness of these little creatures.
Oh, so much so.
Absolutely. And to realize that, you know, there are new ways of perceiving and knowing, and that they may know more than we do.
Oh, definitely. Oh,
you know,
so much.
I think somebody once said that, you know, the children shall set them free or lead them or something.
Yes, right.
And I think that's true. I think they're coming. I think they're here.
I agree.
You know?
Okay.
And they've been here for a while, and, you know, we're about to find out.
Hello.
Well, let's hope so, because, you know, I think we're at many turning points.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And no matter how you slice it, something's coming down the pike.
Yep. I agree.
And we're going to have to choose what train or what vehicle we want to ride.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And if it's the train to hell,
that's
already there.
That's where it goes. Yeah.
Lots of people, leading us to the loading platform. But, you know, I'd rather fly or
definitely.
Be, you know, levitate or, you know, transmigrate or something. And I think anything is possible.
Yeah, I agree.
So what else do you see in your daily? You do a lot of healing work, and in addition, do you still do healing work?
Yeah, I do healing work, and I also do a lot of work with the orbs. And in May, the Prophets Conference is going to have a whole conference down in Sedona about the orbs. Are you familiar with that?
No. No, tell us about it.
Oh, okay. Well, Cody and Robin, who do the Prophets Conference all over the world,
wow,
are going to do an enormous awakening to the orbs and what they have to, you know, tell us. And what I have come to understand is that the orbs are the guardians of the soul. And
whoa,
they're going to let me speak for a short period of time on their little stage that they're going to have.
Wow.
They're going to have a whole bunch of speakers and talk about the plasma that is the orb body.
Wow.
Have you taken pictures of that at all?
No, but I hear about them all the time. Tell me more. I want to find out.
Okay. Well, the orbs themselves are like made of plasma.
Wow.
Okay. And they tell us through you know, what they've told me is that they are the guardians of our soul.
Wow.
And they want to speak to us. They want to let us know that they are our protectors.
Wow.
And they're all over the place. A lot of the people in India,
uh-huh,
who do Diksha, you know, kind of love, transparent, I don't know what you want to call it. It's a transmission of love from me to you type of thing.
Uh huh.
There's all kinds of pictures that have been taken, and they are appearing there.
Wow.
So we'll just see what happens.
When is this conference going on in Sedona?
Pardon?
When is the conference in Sedona?
I think it's May 4th through the 6th.
And what's it called again?
Prophets Conference.
Okay. Because I know that there's probably some of the listeners will want to look that up.
Yeah, if they, and I'm trying to think of the, I think if they go to Prophets at, no, it's, oh, pardon me, Great Mystery.
Oh, okay.
Okay, .com.
GreatMystery.com.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm definitely going to check that one out.
Yeah.
I've been hearing about the orbs now for months, and, you know, my latest fancy is all these people who have been abducted and who've had experiences for, you know, 20 years of being,
right,
you know, and so it's like a whole new world, you know. My eyes are opening up and I'm seeing, my God, there's all this stuff is going on here. And I've been hearing about the orbs and wondering what they are, but I kind of, you know, put them in the same category as crop circles, something, and the orbs and the crop circles are related,
mm-hmm,
aren't they?
Well, yeah, no, I mean, I don't know. I mean, for me, I have seen the orbs personally,
uh-huh,
in my own life, in my own house.
Oh.
So, you know, I haven't seen crop circles. So.
You need a bigger lawn.
I don't know what to say there. But at the same time, they've been, you know, very real to me.
Uh-huh. They're kind of like people's, the pictures that I've seen, they're just kind of like floating balls of light?
That's how it was for me, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you're able...
A big ball of light.
A big,
uh-huh,
ball of light.
Mm-hmm.
Not small balls, little,
no,
big balls.
No, mine was huge. It was huge. It was like maybe 3 feet by,
wow,
2 feet.
And you can, well, obviously you can communicate with them. What do they say?
They say, I am the guardian of your soul.
Wow.
And what happened for me is that I posted that on my website, and then this lady in Canada,
uh-huh,
emailed me and said, you have brought me peace.
Whoa.
And I said, well, what do you mean? And she said, well, my son, before he died, said, I'm going to become a guardian of the soul.
Oh, my God.
And then he died.
Oh,
and,
my God.
And then after that, he became this guardian of the soul for his brother.
Oh.
So every place that you see his brother's picture, he is surrounded by this great orb.
Wow. I've got goosebumps.
It was awesome.
Wow. That is amazing.
Yeah, it was. It was amazing.
Oh, I would love to see that kind of thing.
Well, go on my webpage and look at Nick's page.
Okay.
Because I asked her permission to create a special page just for Nick.
Oh, good. Why don't you tell people how they can get to your
website? Okay, so it's www.sacredspaceslaw.com. And then go to the Orb Gallery, and you'll see Nick's page.
Oh, neat. Well, you know, you should tell some of these stories in your next book.
Oh, I'm going to.
Oh, good.
Oh,
good.
Yeah, definitely.
Good.
Oh, absolutely.
How has your book, The Call, been received?
Oh, it's been very well received.
Yeah.
Oh, it's been wonderful.
Good.
Wonderful.
Good. It's a great book.
Thank you.
It's a great book. And,
you
know, we're just beginning to wake up to so many new possibilities.
I know.
I think when people really open up their hearts and their minds that they'll know that it's nothing to be afraid of. It's just all new, exciting stuff.
Right, exactly.
You know, it's like going to Disneyland, you know, and what ride do you want to take? Well, I think I'll take the Orb ride.
Right,
I'll take the ET ride, you know, or something else. And the world of lower and negative vibrations is there.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be that way forever.
Mm-hmm.
And as we lift ourselves up into, you know, higher emotional states and stay grounded and out of fear, I think we'll see the face of the planet change pretty quickly.
Yeah, definitely. I agree.
So, well, we're almost out of time. I can't believe this hour went by so fast.
That's so great.
Amazing. Amazing. I just love talking to you.
Thank you.
Well, you know, it's not just talk, like you said.
Yeah.
It's the resonance and it's the dance of the energy, and the audience is included.
Oh, I agree.
We're all there on the same wavelength.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I feel that the energy goes through these waves and that the people get to feel it in their hearts.
Oh, definitely. Yes, I agree.
And it really does make a difference because really, I feel like I'm just saying stuff that people in the audience want to hear.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, and that's all it is. It's, what would I want to hear if I was on the radio? Well,
right.
You know, that kind of thing.
Right.
And it's really fun. It's really exciting, and I'm so glad that you came back tonight to be with us. Is there anything you'd like to share with the audience before we...
Oh, just love yourself.
Yeah, exactly. That's it.
Love.
You know, and the Beatles said it so many years ago, and you know, love, and Mayor Baba, and so many others, and it really, you know, I've been on quite a little journey, but it boils down to, it really does. Love is all that matters.
Yep, that's all.
And it's so simple, and you know, it's like Occam's razor. You know, the simplest explanation is often. So there you have it, folks. You know, love yourself, and you know, the world will change.
Wonderful.
Well, Tony, thank you
so much
for being with us tonight. And again, your site is www. Say that again.
Sacred Spaces Law.
That's law?
Law, as in Washington.
Law. Okay, got
law.
It.
Okay.
Okay, .com.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Well, I guess that's a wrap for the Fireside Chat for tonight. And thank you again, Tony, and many blessings. And I hope to have you back again soon. And,
thanks a lot.
And I just love the work you're doing, and I highly recommend that people check out your book and get it.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Okay.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.